Hello, friends. I'm Alexa Sackerfeld, and welcome to the Mom Life Podcast. I'm a mom and a holistic nutritionist specializing in fertility nutrition. This podcast is all about motherhood, everything from fertility to pregnancy to postpartum and mom life. I'll talk about my own experiences with motherhood, as well as nutrition tips that will help empower you on your fertility and pregnancy journey. We'll also hear from other inspiring moms and experts in fertility, postpartum support, parenting specialists, and more. I'm so excited to have you on this journey with me. Let's jump into the episode. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. This week on the podcast, we have our very first guest, Tabitha Wills. Tabitha is a new mom to her daughter, Lennon. She lives in Kitchener, Ontario in Canada with her husband and daughter. She enjoys discovering new hiking trails, cycling, reading, and time outside with her family. She works as the customer success lead for That Clean Life, which is a nutrition planning software for high-performance health professionals. She uses her social channels to share honestly and candidly about the struggles of motherhood and managing a chronic illness. You can follow her on Instagram and follow along on her journey at tabitha.wills. I'm very excited to have Tabitha on the podcast. We'll go into a little bit more about her story and she'll introduce herself in the episode, but I just wanted to do a brief overview before we get into it. But let's jump into the episode now. Okay, so I wanted to welcome you, Tabitha, to the Mom Life Podcast. For any of our listeners, Tabitha and I actually connected over Instagram, and I even had the pleasure of having you, Tabitha, come to a corporate wellness talk a few years ago for the wellness committee that I started in my department at work. But for our listeners, why don't you just do a little introduction for yourself, share a little bit about who you are, what you do, and maybe like a little bit of an intro of your story.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks so much for having me, Alexis. As you mentioned, we met many years ago and you were one of my first corporate wellness workshops. And it was so lovely to, you know, feel like I had an audience and felt like what I was putting out there was validated. So you have a soft spot in my heart forever for that. Oh, it's just so nice to be able to connect with that. And I felt like the banks in Toronto really took to that offering, which is great. So yeah, in a past life, I was running a nutrition business. I am a health coach through trade, but I don't practice with clients anymore. I work with a nutrition software called That Clean Life. So we are nutrition software for high performance health professionals, and I'm the customer success lead. So that means I get to interact with nutrition and wellness professionals on a daily basis to help them guide the software and really help encourage them to start their own businesses. And I find that is really sort of my cozy soft spot. I really excel there. I love cheering others on, and it feels really nice to have my finger on the pulse of all things nutrition, but for a company that is small, well-rooted, and I know very well, that I can sort of flex my nutrition muscle that way while also, leaning on my other background of software.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, I actually do use That Clean Life in my nutrition practice.
Yeah, so you remember.
If there's any nutritionists listening, definitely check it out if you don't already know about That Clean Life, because it's definitely like a great software to support your business.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I was just going to say, you're a member. So it's so lovely to have. We've got so many people on the software who are using it from, you know, just starting their business to all the way up to they've got, you know, a full client roster. And I just love seeing them come through the resources they're creating. I'm really inspired by them. So in my non-work life, I don't work in nutrition. But that is, you know, I just create space for my family. My daughter's almost one now. And I also try to carve out time for myself, which I'm sure every mom listening is like, how, when? Yeah. Those are common concerns I have too. And then, I use my social platforms to really just share honestly and openly about, you know, kind of my life as a mom, as a human with a chronic disorder, and, you know, just kind of living life and getting through a pandemic and navigating all of those together. So yeah, I don't have any one sort of brand on my social. It's just me living honestly, rawly.
Yeah. And I love that. And you've touched on so many things, and I want to actually talk about like all of those things. So thank you for that little intro. I think that was great. You touched on living with a chronic disorder, and that's something that you share about on your Instagram. Maybe you wanted to talk a little bit more about that. I know I have here written down the name of it, but I will let you pronounce it yourself because I feel like I'm going to butcher it. But yeah, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about that, and for anyone who doesn't know about this disorder, if you can give a little bit of background and maybe talk a little bit about like your diagnosis and sort of how has that impacted your life, like dietary and lifestyle choices.
Yeah, it's so I live with an autoimmune condition called hidradenitis suppurativa, or HS for short. It is commonly mispronounced. It is commonly misdiagnosed because it's just not known about all that much, but it's shown that it's actually present in a lot more people than people realize because there's very few people who are willing to share about their experience, and that's because it can be a little bit embarrassing. So essentially what HS is it is like either boils or lesions in places where your skin often rubs together or has a high friction space. So for many people, that's under their armpits. For me, that's within my sit bones, within my groin. And so as an avid cyclist, this completely hinders where and when I get to enjoy something like cycling. So I was diagnosed quite a few years ago. I actually found out about it because my sister got appropriately diagnosed. And the only reason she was able to find a proper diagnosis is because her family doctor has a history of it. Otherwise, it would have just gone undiagnosed as sort of like a weird skin phenomenon where you get these, think of like cystic acne. Anybody who's had cystic acne is like very aware of sort of what that feels like, where you've seen somebody with cystic acne. It's very similar. And HS even goes like a step further, where your cysts will start to sort of tunnel under the skin and join and create new abscesses. And so it can get quite painful for many people. Mine sort of flared up when I got my IUD removed, oddly enough.
Interesting.
And yeah, so it's very much connected to my hormonal cycle, but it took me a really long time of like sitting in discomfort, understanding what foods did and did not work, to really tune into the fact that that's what was happening. I was very convinced that it was foods I was eating, and I do think that that is does have a huge impact. But I know for sure that it's connected to my hormonal cycle, just my, you know, my monthly period, because just like many women will PMS, I sort of get a flare up just before I get my period. And that's how I know I'm getting my period. So oddly enough, and many people who have HS where it is hormonally connected, they often find their symptoms don't actually come up during pregnancy. And so I got to live HS free during my pregnancy, which was beautiful and so lovely. I enjoyed many foods that I hadn't had in years and years and years. And it was just like a really lovely experience to be able to enjoy those and not be concerned about what was happening. But obviously you're not getting a period when you're pregnant. So this is why it ceased, for me at least.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I didn't realize like the connection to hormones in your period, but I suppose yeah, like that makes sense. And I have heard that certain things when you're pregnant do go away. Like I know I have a little bit of a sensitivity to gluten, and like when I was pregnant, like that wasn't an issue. So that's interesting to hear in your situation that, yeah, like you were able to enjoy some of the things that I'm sure, or you have to sort of restrict or minimize to manage your HS. Yeah, like I don't know if you wanted to share a little bit about like what sort of changes HS, how you had to change that. I mean, you do have a background with nutrition and you have a good understanding of nutrition and how nutrition impacts the body. So what were some of the changes that you had to make? Sort of dietary and maybe even lifestyle changes to manage your HS, I guess pre-pregnancy, because as you just mentioned, during pregnancy it was much more manageable. Your symptoms were, not really there. So yeah, I guess pre-pregnancy, what were some of the changes you had to take on?
Yeah, I think like with any autoimmune condition, it's just about like trial and error, right? Like autoimmune conditions almost feel like this blanket diagnosis where you have this, but we don't know why you have it. It's important that you work with the right health professional to get to the root cause of these, because there are so many factors that can contribute to an autoimmune condition, you know, and there's just not enough studied about them. Things like MS, things like celiac disease, you know, there's so many autoimmune conditions that we just don't know why, but more and more studies have been done to understand the root. And so I used my nutrition background to the best of my ability when I was first diagnosed, and that worked to a point. So what that looked like for me is that I had always been dairy free ever since college, really. I kind of knew that cheese and milk products were just like not affecting me in a great way. And I just kind of chalked it up to lactose intolerance. When I found out that lactose pills also didn't resolve that, I assumed that it likely had to do with the proteins in the dairy that I just wasn't processing correctly. So it was just easier to cut it than to try and like navigate around it. And then when I got diagnosed with HS, the first thing that came to mind was gluten, because consuming gluten when you have an autoimmune condition can exacerbate it for a lot of people. And sometimes it shows up in other ways, like a brain fog or creaky joints. You know, it's kind of strange how it shows up for some people. And I just had to really tune into what that looked like for me. And to be perfectly honest, that was probably the hardest thing for me to cut, because my husband and I loved frequenting all of the craft breweries around Toronto. This is when we lived in Toronto at the time.
I remember seeing on your Instagram, like you used to go to the Left Field Brewery a lot. I think you lived near there.
We lived right near there. That was like our joint, you know? So I really just had to tune into what that meant for me. And for me personally, that didn't mean forever eliminating gluten. It just meant understanding how I feel when I consume it and knowing, do I want to feel like this now? And I think that was a really important question and a distinction for me personally to make, because I have a background in disordered eating. So to know that I needed to, you know, approach foods and then like never have them again, just felt like I was slipping right back into disordered eating. So really kind of taking that nutrition lens and understanding how I could be flexible with it. And that's really how I guide my nutrition now. You know, there's certain items that I know I need to lean on, gluten being one of them, dairy being another, sometimes soy, but knowing what makes me feel a certain way and then understanding, do I want to feel this way right now when I consume it? And sometimes the answer is yes. You know, sometimes you're at a craft brewery that you might not have the opportunity to go to again. You know, sometimes, for example, we were up in Manitoulin Island for just a getaway, not I guess before being pregnant. And, you know, we're not often up in Manitoulin Island. So like, yes, I would like to try the new sour beer, and I'm not going to fret about how this will affect the outcome, because it ultimately probably will affect negatively. But if you focus on that, then you're not gaining anything in your life.
That was super helpful to understand. And I think like what you're saying about really understanding your body and how these certain foods impact your body is really important. To know, okay, like you just mentioned, like, okay, I might have this one beer, but I'm not going to stress about it, because stressing about it is probably also going to just like add negatively to how you feel. So it's like, okay, being okay and being flexible to be like, okay, it's not going to be like all or nothing. If I have this one beer and then I'm at this great brewery and I want to enjoy the experience, like I know I might have a little bit of a flare up, but like, you know, and you're kind of like in that control. So now, but you're a new mom. So you got through pregnancy and you're a new mom. You just mentioned Lennon is almost a year old at the time of recording this. I love seeing your motherhood journey on Instagram, but I'm also curious to understand sort of how do you navigate HS sort of like as a new mom. I think you mentioned that it's been a bit of an interesting journey now, having been through pregnancy and being a new mom. If you wanted to talk about that a little bit, I think that would be really, really great.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I feel like HS has a less of a focal point in my life now that I have this small human to manage, raise, and keep content. I'm still very aware of when I have a flare up, and I have managing capabilities now. And I just sort of lean on those instead of putting so much effort into what I'm nutritionally putting into my body. I think any new mom can attest that when you're in postpartum, Thriving is really something that is so far beyond your mental capacity. It's really about surviving. And, I'm still in my first year postpartum. I still think, like, I personally believe that postpartum is forever. And within those first few years, it really is about surviving. And that is such a lens switch from where I was prior to knowing that thriving was my goal. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think it just takes the ability to reframe that in your mind and understand like what that means to you, and also understanding that this is just a season in life for right now. So for me personally, being a mom has been, am I fed? It's not like, am I fed the best foods? Am I fed because I'm still breastfeeding my daughter? She needs to be fed. If I'm not fed, she doesn't get fed. My milk supply dwindles, and then now we're dealing with something that's even more difficult to manage. So sometimes that looks like loading my day with grains and easy access foods that I typically never would have done prior to knowing that if my glycemic levels don't stay low, then I risk the opportunity of a flare up. And so that's just like not front of mind for me right now. It's just what I can grab. Also, in the time that we're recording this, inflation is bananas right now. So knowing that, like, access to meats and high quality proteins have skyrocketed huge. And while we're managing inflation, I'm also managing an extra mouth to feed. So that looks a little bit different in terms of, am I fed? Yes, I'm fed, but I'm not necessarily fed all of this high quality material that it would have been important for me to focus on prior to. So I think it's really about meeting yourself where you're at, which for me is just knowing the time that I have in the day, creating an opportunity to grab quick items where I can. So using any sort of spare time to prep easy snacks, easy meals, and then working with that moving forward. So yeah, it's your lens, I guess in your lens, your focus changes dramatically. And early in postpartum, that was very difficult for me to navigate. But knowing that this is just a season of life and this isn't a forever situation has really kind of been my mantra. I think also sleep has been probably the hardest part because anyone knows that, like, in order to feel your best or even just like your optimal is to get a good night's sleep. And that's very difficult when you have a small child who doesn't sleep through the night. So really kind of meeting yourself where you're at with that and understanding that, again, right now in this season is not where you're going to feel your optimal, but like, what are these small things that you can do in your day-to-day to feel better than your suboptimal self?
Yeah, I love what you said about I might misquote you now, but in your lens, your focus changes.
Yeah,
Is that how you said it? Yeah, I love
absolutely.
that. Yeah, it's sort of shifting your mindset. I mean, becoming a mother is like a massive life change, a massive transition. And like, obviously you can't live life. None of us, I mean, anyone who becomes a mother, you can't live life exactly how you did before. And like you mentioned, in postpartum, it is very much in the beginning and forever, like survival. I mean, like babies change and there's different stages, and at every stage, there's different challenges. And so it's just
Totally.
a different way of survival, and you're constantly adapting. So I think I really like what you said about meeting yourself where you're at, because I think the last thing that any of us need as moms is to put more pressure on ourselves, and
I
create more
think that
stress than we need. Yeah, sorry.
exactly. Well, I think that changes daily too. Like it, I prior to having a child, I used to be very like binary in my thinking. Like, you're either doing the workout or you're not doing the workout. You're either doing the meal prep or you're not doing the meal prep. You're either eating healthy or you're not eating healthy. And I think being a mother has allowed me to take a step back and assess that gray area and understand that just because you are not working out doesn't mean that you're not taking care of yourself. Just because you're not meal prepping doesn't mean that you're not fueling your body. There's space in that gray area that you just have to be okay with to meet yourself where you're at. And that is what allows you to meet yourself where you're at. And that changes daily. Some days that being productive looks like doing that workout. Other days being productive looks like resting.
Totally agree. And yeah, I think I need to I need to adjust my mindset as well a little bit more and take it sort of implement that thinking too, because I totally can be like all or nothing type person. And I agree, you know, like in the past, it's like, okay, like I'm not doing all the workouts. And then I'm like, if I'm not doing it every day, like it
What's
doesn't
the
I,
point?
point doing it one day, you know, but like I'm really
Yes.
trying to get away from that thinking and just, you know, it's about consistency and just like working, like you said, meeting yourself where you're at, like working in what you can into your routine and know that like every little bit does count over time. Yeah. And you sort of touched on taking care of yourself, because in motherhood, yeah, there's a lot going on. We're taking care of a little child. Life has drastically changed. And you know, all the things that perhaps when prior to having a child, when you had a lot more time to take care of yourself, and self-care was probably a little bit higher, at least for me, self-care was a little bit higher on the priority list. I'm just curious to know how do you meet yourself where you're at, and how do you work sort of taking care of yourself into your routine currently?
Yeah, I think self-care, the definition for me at least changed. You know, like early postpartum self-care was like brushing my teeth. You know, it was getting up and walking around the block. It was having a nap when I didn't want to have a nap. It was, you know, it was like having a nap when the place was a mess and there was laundry to do. Whereas like prior to having a child, that would have, I truly would have rolled my eyes if someone had said that to me. I would have been like, that's bananas, because you can't possibly put brushing your teeth as self-care because that's just something you need to do every day. But the reality is when you're in those early days of postpartum, there are going to be times when you forget to brush your teeth. And then you're like, why does it feel like a bird pooped in my mouth? Like the reason is because you haven't taken time for yourself. So I think like a lot of societal pressures have a lot to do with like being the best version of yourself, you know? And there's a lot of pressure as a mom to understand what that means to you. And I think, in my opinion, meeting yourself where you're at just means understanding like what your day looks like, who you are as a person before a mom, and what is one small thing that you can do in order to keep that identity outside of being a mom. To know that, you know, maybe that means that your child gets the boxed item of food rather than something that's meal prepped because you're allowing yourself to be good enough. So I think removing those societal expectations and challenging perfectionism is one of the best ways that you can meet yourself where you're at because it's going to change every day. There's going to be days where you wake up and you go for the run and that's going to be the best version of yourself. And there's going to be days where you get up and you throw your hair up in a bun and that's going to be the best version of yourself. And you're going to wait a couple of days to shower because that's not the important part of self-care right now. Right now, the important part of self-care is getting food in your tummy that makes you feel good.
Totally. Yeah, it's like about giving yourself grace and being kind to yourself too for those choices, 'cause yeah, like it's at least for me, and maybe there are some super moms out there that do this, but like I certainly don't cook like the perfect nutrient dense dinner every day or breakfast, lunch, like any of those things. Like Rowan has made good granola bars like on the way to daycare for breakfast pretty much every day, and he eats those on the way home from daycare too, and eats them like multiple times a day because right now that's what he enjoys. And you know, it's about exactly making those choices. Like I feel good at least about giving him that specific granola bar. I've made a choice about that brand, but you know, you have to give yourself grace and meet yourself where you're at exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also like Lennon recently started daycare and knowing that like what happens at daycare isn't in my control. I'm not here to tell someone how to run their company, how to run their daycare as long as my child is cared for and supported and is watched and fed. I feel good about it. And so, you know, for them, that means feeding them accessible foods like puffs and cereal. And these are really, you know, these are things that I would weigh so heavily on me before having a child, going like, I can't possibly, this is literally all grains. Like, you know, she's not going to stay full, but she's fed, you know, she's fed and she's cared for and she's loved by, and that allows me to have space in my day to not only be a version of myself that doesn't revolve around being a mom, but it also allows me to continue on with my day job and do something for me that isn't mom related. So sometimes that's, you know, having a snooze, sometimes that's opening a book, sometimes that's just meal prepping if that's what feels good that day. So removing the perfectionism around food expectations, especially as it pertains to my kids. So
yeah, you just touched on it. I was going to ask, because you mentioned kind of like doing one small thing every day that kind of like brings you back to your own identity before being a mom. Yeah. So I was going to ask, like, what kind of does that look like for you? And I think you kind of just touched on that, like, yeah, taking a nap, maybe, or reading a book. Is there anything else that, you know, you try to incorporate into your routine that just like is a bit of a me time, not mom time, but me time?
Yeah, that is definitely one of my favorite mom hacks, is take 5 minutes a day to carve something out for you that is completely unrelated to being a mom. So this morning for me, that was going for a run, only because I signed up for a triathlon in 6 weeks and I literally haven't run since I was pregnant. So I was like, I should probably do that. So that's what that looked like this morning. I can tell you tomorrow morning, that's probably going to look like resting because my legs are going to be like WTF.
Yeah. You'll have the DOMS, the delayed onset muscle soreness, or I find it's usually like 2 days later.
Absolutely. Yeah. So sometimes for me, that's meditation. Sometimes for me, that's like journaling in my phone. So for journaling for me, used to be this like very Instagram worthy, like moment where I'd break out the beautiful journal and, you know, I'd have my tea left. I'm sorry, my tea with me. And, it would just be like this very serene moment. And that is not what journaling is for me at all anymore. I had a barnacle baby as a small baby. She only napped on me. So if I wanted to journal, I had to journal in my phone. And so, you know, I encourage people to understand what that means to them. Like something that's not chore related, it gives you self-esteem to connect with you. It might only take 5 minutes. It might take 30 minutes. Maybe you need to rely on your support network, whether that be your partner, whether that be your extended family or your friends or your daycare provider, and just understanding what that means to you. Cause we often lose sight of what that means as a mom, right? Like, oh shit, what did I like to do before I was a mom? And for me, that was like, you know, a walk, riding my bike, reading a book, sleeping in, you know.
Yeah, sleeping in.
Yeah.
I did want to chat a little bit about, you recently took a hiatus from Instagram. You posted that you were back from a little bit of a hiatus. So I just was curious to learn a little bit more about that, why you decided to take that break from Instagram and what that time away from social media looked like. And how do you feel now coming back?
Yeah, it was actually so lovely. It wasn't even planned. I just felt like I was spending a majority of my day in socials just scrolling, because while I was breastfeeding, this is what I was doing. While Lennon was napping on me, that's what I was doing. And so I slowly started to phase it out with books from the library, and I would just use the Libby app on my phone. I used to be like a, again, binary. If I'm reading, I'm reading a book. I am reading a paperback book. Like, you can't tell me to get a e-reader, but I realized like I wasn't reading that way because, you know, it's super dark in my daughter's room while she's napping. So I'm just like sitting there and all I have is my phone. So working with what you have, meeting yourself where you're at, and bringing books, fictional books, back into my day to day. And so that just felt really good, and realized I was on it less and less, and I didn't love the energy that I was putting into it, knowing that if I wasn't on it when she was napping, then I was probably on it when she was awake and I could be spending time with her rather than on social. And that was really important to me because I didn't get your typical 1 year off that most moms get in Canada. I was essentially self-employed, so an independent contractor with the company I worked for. And so they were so gracious and offered me 7 months off, where they didn't have to offer me any time really. And so I drank every month of that in. And when we got to about 4 months off, I realized like, wow, my time is flying and I'm not present for any of it right now, because being present felt really hard. It felt exhausting. You know, it's so easy to just zone out and scroll when you're so tired. And so I just said, like, I need to remove the distraction. I didn't have the ability to set that boundary without removing it. So I removed it from my phone and ended up removing it for, I think it was like a solid 4 months, three and a half, 4 months. And it just ended up being longer than I had anticipated. But I got to towards the end of my maternity leave and realized I didn't feel like re-downloading it and just wanted to drink in every moment with Lennon. So since coming back on to Instagram, I do feel like a part of me needs to be on it to connect with our members within that clean life, and just kind of keep my pulse, my finger on the pulse of what's happening that way. But there's also a lot of really wonderful mom support accounts that I realized I was missing out on. So big shout out to Hey Sleepy Baby, if you don't follow her, Mother Nurse Sleep, you know, there's quite a few, Caitlin Kilmer, that I just realized I didn't have that positive input and was missing that positive input. And so that was like a good indication to me that I had positive experiences with social media that I could bring back in and create that boundary. And so since coming back, I found it's very easy to create that boundary to know, like, I seek out my friends' accounts, I seek out support accounts rather than accounts that, you know, make me feel a certain way, accounts that make me feel supported. And sort of got rid of like any other noise. And so yeah, I have a very different relationship with it now. I don't feel like I'm on it at all hours scrolling. I feel like I opened it up intentionally now, and I really needed that time away in order to create that relationship with it. So
And I think, yeah, what you said about boundaries is really important. And I mean, social media is what you make it. Like, you can totally control who you follow and what you consume. And I think that it's really important to sort of take stock of that and, you know, create those boundaries. And I don't know if you found this, but I found during the pandemic, like, having that sort of support, like that mom support over social media, not only like other moms that made me feel good, but lots of resources, like you mentioned, like the sleep consultants, there's people talking about baby led weaning, if you choose to do that approach for feeding your child, like at times can be overwhelming, but I find the way that I use social media and what I consume on social media has very much shifted since having a baby.
Yeah, I think it's allowed me to understand that, like, this is a highlight reel for a lot of people. And that's cool. That's cool if that's what it is for a lot of people. I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think it's lovely that they have a space to document all of these highlights as a memory and a space that they can create for themselves. But also, you have to understand that that is a highlight reel. And the moment you start comparing your bad days to their good days is where it kind of all falls off. And that was really hard to do in early postpartum, to not understand that, like, my current situation was a season. It was temporary. You know, I had a baby that didn't want to sleep, and everyone else's baby seemed to be like laughing and snoozing all over the socials. And so not comparing myself was really hard. And the only way was to remove that.
It's not the full picture for sure.
No, not at all. Yeah. Like, just so if you're listening to this and your baby is not sleeping, I'm with you. I feel you. And you're not the only one. You're not alone. So
yeah, you're not alone. And that's definitely something I love about your Instagram account, is that you are open about, you know, your experiences, and you share candidly and honestly about your motherhood journey and, you know, these seasons that you're going through with Lennon and even with your own like health journey. So yeah, I really appreciate that about your account. I mean, I feel like we're seeing more and more of those, and I really hope that that continues, because it is really helpful to know that you're not alone in those experiences.
Yeah, I think it's important to keep it real without it becoming your diary, you know? And so it's such a fine line to walk, especially when you're feeling sleep deprived and knowing, I'm just putting out there what I'm feeling right now, and that could be complete, you know, misconstrued information, or even just a jumble of thoughts, because I don't even have a clear picture on what I'm feeling right now. But I think, like, once I started just putting that out there, and even for things that a lot of moms seek outside support in, which is, you know, what sleep looks like, you know, I did a lot of things that, like, I wasn't quote unquote supposed to do with sleep, like co-sleeping and not sleep training. And I just wanted to put that out there, because it wasn't what I was seeing when I was pregnant and had Lennon early on. And so I thought, if I shared, then that would come around to me, you know, and create what I want to see. So
yeah. And then, I mean, it's all about, if one person shares, then more people will feel comfortable sharing, and then more people will have that, you know, support and, you know, comfort in numbers, almost, of knowing, like, we're we're not all following the like, okay, you have to do it this way. Like there are other ways of doing things. And we certainly don't want to like shame people for that because you have to do
No.
what works best for you and your baby and your life. And like the more people talk about that, the hopefully the more people will talk about it. And I think that's also similarly with your experience with HS. Like it's sort of a lesser known condition. And perhaps there are other people out there that are struggling with this. And just the fact that you're sharing your journey, I'm sure is helpful to others that are struggling with that as well, or have some challenges with that. So I
Cool.
just wanted to thank you. I think we're sort of coming up to time now. So I just wanted to thank you so much for being so open and sharing about your journey, your motherhood journey. It's been so great to have you on and reconnect with you after all these years. Having you, come in person back then was super fun. And I'm glad that we were able to connect sort of in a different capacity on a different topic. And it's been super fun. I usually do like wrapping up with like your favorite mom hack or life hack. I think you already mentioned one earlier, but if there's any other sort of mom hack that or even life hack that you love, I'd love to hear it and for you to share with the listeners.
I think like a simple one that anyone can take away. Yeah, I did already share that it's like taking 5 minutes of the day for yourself to do something that isn't being a mom. But even if you're listening to this and you're pregnant, you're not yet a mom, or you're on your own journey through fertility or understanding like, is this even something I want to incorporate into my life? I think the number one thing you can do is have breakfast. That sounds so silly, but
Yes.
have something to eat in the morning, please, because I think it will really set your day up for success. There's a lot of big trends going around right now with fasting, and I am of the belief that the exact same way you are as a mom, if it works for you, then that is exactly right for you, and if it works for your family, then perfect. But if it doesn't feel right, don't feel like you have to do it. And for a lot of women, especially those who are struggling hormonally, eating breakfast can really make or break your day. So do yourself a favor, have some breakfast. Don't worry about if it looks like a perfect Pinterest breakfast. Just eat something, and I promise you will feel so much better throughout the day. Really just pay attention to how that's feeling. So eat breakfast.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's simple, but I feel like sometimes it's those simple things that sort of get, I don't know, pushed to the side when we're looking at all like the trends, like you mentioned, like, oh, we should be intermittent fasting or eating, this perfect like smoothie bowl with like everything lined up perfectly. Like, I know, like, I'm a nutritionist, but I don't often share my food because it's not. It doesn't look perfect. It's there to nourish me, and if I'm hungry, I eat it. And maybe I should share that more, just the realness of it, like this is what I have for breakfast, and it doesn't look pretty, but it's doing its job. I'm hungry and I need to eat breakfast. So there
Absolutely. Yeah.
it is.
Yep. If you're hungry, please eat.
I think that's a great tip. Love that. Yeah, well, thank you so much, Tabitha. Thank you for being here. Thanks for being my first podcast guest. I'm so honored to have you on and reconnect with you. Yeah, and it's just been really fun. So I just wanted to thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to say congratulations on your podcast too. It's been so fun to listen to. Again, very real. I love that you've talked about your journey and just you're not worried about what the finished product looks like, which is incredibly refreshing, especially now when I feel like a day and age when everyone's trying to start a podcast or has some version of a podcast, it feels very polished and like something that is unattainable for many people who might desire to start one. So it's been really refreshing to listen to.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to be, I just wanted to be like you're kind of talking to your mom friend, and there was going to be lots of different topics. I don't even know what we'll cover like in future episodes. I have a few things lined up, but like it's just, I really want it to be just like that, like conversational, like this is just like a quick chat or catching up, and you're talking to your friend, your mom friend, or whoever. So I really appreciate that feedback. Thank you so
Yeah,
much.
it's been great.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the episode today. Go check out the link in my Instagram bio at Alexis Wellness to download your free guide to 5 things you can implement today to protect your egg supply. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, rate and review. I would really love to hear your feedback. Talk to you soon.